status of women in Buddhism or Buddhist attitude towards women. A talk given by Venerable K.C. Dhammananda Thera at the University of Agriculture. There are many things for us to discuss, because there are so many controversies, so many misinterpretations, and many discriminations. Before we try to explain the Buddhist attitude towards women or status of women in Buddhism, we had to discuss the situation, the conditions, environments at that time, more than 2,500 years ago. When you study the world history, in the west or the east, or any part of the world, you cannot find that man has given full freedom to women to do anything. Women were regarded as articles for man to do anything, whatever he likes. Now that was the situation of women at that time. Then, existing religions also have given full support by discriminating women. They were regarded as very unfortunate living beings, not even fully developed human beings. Women were regarded as tempters. That means who tempt man to commit any kinds of evil deeds in this world. When man made mistake, he blamed a woman, saying, "Woman is the cause for this mistake. Man is not ready to accept his mistake because I am tempted by woman. I have no other choice." So the poor woman gets the blame, but not that culprit who make the mistake. That is why man is being introduced as Son of God. But there is no place for woman to become the daughter of God. Have you ever heard in any religion that woman is given that position as daughter of God? No. Then they had a belief that women and animals have no souls, only men. That is why they were regarded as very unfortunate living beings. That means women have no chance either to become a saint or to go to heaven. If women want to go to heaven, she or they had to use their husband's passport. They had no individual passport. That means for everything, woman had to depend on man or husband. the more she becomes obedient, and the more he serves husband. Whether husband is good or bad, wicked or cruel, it is immaterial. She had no other choice, must serve her husband. Otherwise, no salvation for her. They were regarded as the source of all the sins in this world. Woman is the gate to hell, recorded in their religious books. Woman opened the gate for man to go to hell. Women were not allowed to read any holy books, religious books, strictly prohibited. This was the situation 2,500 years ago, not only in India, in many parts of the world. If they want to attend any religious services, or if they want to perform any religious service, or if they want to pray, they can do this kind of services at home. Women were not allowed to enter any place of worship, even today. There are certain places in India and some other countries that women are not allowed, because they regard women as very impure. They pollute the sacredness or the purity of place of worship. So they were not allowed. Today, you can see certain religious authorities have given this privilege to women to enter into their places of worship to go and pray. They have started this only, I think, during the 20th century, not earlier. Even then, they have no chance to mix up with males. They have to sit down separately. Division is there. The woman cannot mix up with men. They are in that place of worship. And at the beginning, they were allowed to attend those services of prayer if they agreed to cover their faces. Even today, in certain places of worship, you can see they must cover their faces and separate from men attend services. So I'm telling you all these things, how other religions have discriminated, disregarded a woman's life without giving full freedom even to practice their religion. No doubt, the Buddha has pointed out certain human weaknesses in women. It is true. When you read Tripitaka or Buddhist book, you can see certain caustic comments regarding their way of life, their mentality, their behavior, their moods, their attitudes. But many of these remarks or the comments were based on psychology, psychological feeling, intrinsic psychological feeling, but not discrimination, but negative. For that, we cannot blame either the Buddha or any other Buddhist authorities. Of course, in Buddhism, there are no Buddhist authorities to introduce religious law. They have never changed the basic teachings of the Buddha, and they have never enforced any religious law. They try to follow the basic teachings of the Buddha. However, the Buddha has rejected the belief that many people maintain that women cannot attain sainthood. Because he has paved the path. Formerly, women never had this opportunity. They were regarded as downtrodden or unfortunate, uneducated, narrow-minded human beings. They were not given proper education. Their duties are to look after husband, to attend to their children, and do housework. In fact, it is mentioned that we have to give more homework for them to do. Otherwise, they commit more things. To protect them, to concentrate on housework, we must give more work. That was the belief. The Buddha had a very big battle. All of you know, he's a very liberal-minded, very understanding, compassionate, enlightened religious teacher. He was accused, criticized by the majority in that country when he wanted to give full freedom for women to practice their religion without any discrimination. In the religious field, no discrimination. Of course, there are differences. They are not discrimination. I'll explain later. Why the Buddha had to take so much of trouble and face so many criticisms? Because there was no such system at that time in any part of the world that women can take an active part in the religious field. The belief was that women are not capable enough. Women are not intelligent. Women are not trustworthy. Their way of thinking is very, very narrow. Therefore, it is difficult for them to take any responsibilities, either to maintain or to practice or to lead a religious way of life. The Buddha knew that attitude is wrong. So he has given full freedom. I'll explain later how he has given this freedom. Wife had to sacrifice a life when her husband died. That is called Sati Puja. Offering, sacrificing her life towards her departed husband. That means when the husband's body is burning, the funeral fire, the wife must go and jump into this burning funeral fire and die. That was the common practice. It is true. Because when the husband dies, whether that woman is young or old, makes no difference. She never gets the chance to get married. And she cannot use any jewelry, ornaments, decorations, beautiful dress, as long as she lives, his husband is dead and gone. And she cannot enjoy her worldly or sensual life anymore. So it is better for her to die. So they do this willingly. In fact, British government, during the British occupation, they had to enforce a new law to stop this. Even today, occasionally, in certain remote areas, we can see some incidents. Suddenly, the wife jumped into the funeral and died. That is their custom. Now, that was the situation of women folk at that time. That feeling, but still they maintain. In the Buddha's discourses, he points out that woman is not inferior to man. This you can find very clearly in Sigalavada and various other discourses. He has advised the husband not to regard his wife as a servant. Respect and regard his wife as a friend. Provide all the necessary requisite jewelry, nice dress for her. Not to take advantage of innocent women, to use them as their articles, as I mentioned earlier. So that's why he had to mention certain duties that husband had to perform toward his wife. If a wife cannot produce a son, that wife is a very unfortunate wife. Because husband can marry any number of wives until he gets a son. That was the custom. Then the first one or the second one, it could not produce sons. They were regarded as very unfortunate women. Another thing, husband or the man strongly believe that son is the only child who can carry on their family tradition. A daughter cannot. Not only that, son is the only one who can relieve or who can release departed father's so. That means only some can perform certain religious rites and rituals. From the Buddhist point of view, we interpret this as transference of merits. But according to them, it is not transference of merits. Perform certain rites and rituals to relieve their departed father's soul. If there is no son to perform these duties, what will happen? The departed father's soul enter into the ghost. Therefore, there must be a son. Brahmins, Hindu priests, who have introduced many of these religious laws, are married. They have children. But they never eat anything cooked by a woman. If the food is touched by a woman, a holy Brahmin never eat this food. But all of them are married people. When you study the Buddha's teaching, you can find law of karma. He has introduced and interpreted the law of karma without any discrimination. He says, whether man or woman, human being or animal, or any other living being, all these living beings are subject to this universal law of karmic energy. So there is no particular restriction or discrimination in this karmic law. Karmic law is unbiased. No one can influence the karmic law either by praying or worshipping or offering. So make no difference whatsoever whether the person is a man or woman. Karmic effects they have to experience without any discrimination. Because when we analyze the nature of the mind, same ingredients we can find in each and every human mind, whether man or woman. Three main roots of evil: craving, hatred, ignorance, remain in each and every man's mind, whether man or woman, make no difference. On the other hand, certain good qualities such as kindness or compassion or honesty or understanding also maintain in their mind irrespective of their sex, with the male or female. Now this is the way how Buddha introduced this to show others each and every human being is subject to this universal law of karma. There are three occasions that women are regarded as very unfortunate or impure, not clean, during their monthly period pregnancy and childbirth. These three occasions. Traditional belief in various countries, even without any religious belief, is such that during these three occasions, three periods, women should not mingle or associate with the public, should not step into a place of worship. I remember many ladies approached and asked this question, whether they can enter into the temple, whether they can attend any religious services during this period. Now here, the freedom in Buddhism. I do not know what other religions talk about us. We cannot find even one word uttered by the Buddha regarding these three periods. That means full freedom is there. The belief that they maintain is a traditional belief. Nothing to do with religion. On the other hand, scientifically, or according to medical science, or anatomy, when you study carefully, I don't think that there is an extraordinary impurity in women, and man is superior to women regarding this. Because men also suffer from various sicknesses worse than women suffer. Then we had to restrict men also during that period. So all these are beliefs maintained by people when they could not understand the nature of the real nature of physical conditions or the anatomy or psychological feeling they introduce as traditions and customs. Here, one of the important utterances of the Buddha, for you to understand the Buddhist attitude or the Buddha's attitude towards women. You please try to find out whether you can find out such direct statements made by some other religious teachers. What is it? Naso sabvesu thanesu puriso hoti pandita. Itti. Itti means three. Itti pi pandita hanti. Tatha tatha vichakta. This you can find even in Dhammapada. Meaning, we should not think that man is the only wise person always. Ittipi pandita hanti, istri, also can become pandita, wise, intelligent, on certain occasions, but not always. This is the Buddha. That means, we should not consider man is the only wise. Or we must ignore this regard. Woman's way of thinking or her ideas as inferior to man's way of thinking. Now this is the direct interpretation. You please try to find out whether you can find out such things in any other religion, where these religions also, whether given any due credit to women's way of thinking. Another important occasion, King Kosala, one of the devotees of the Buddha, when he was talking to the Buddha in the monastery, at that time his queen was expecting a baby. He was very anxiously waiting to see a son. One of the ministers came and reported, "Your queen has given birth to a baby girl." Then the Buddha saw that king's face become very sour, very sour. Then he said, "What a pity. Disappointment." There. Again you can find out the Buddha saying what he said, how he consoled